Go. Everybody ready to get into the Word of God this morning? All right, we're going to get on the path to flourishing. This is going to be the start of a series today, and it may be, I don't know how long we'll be in this, 4 to 6 Sundays, possibly no more than 6, but we're going to kind of get the path started today so you can start seeing what this path looks like, and we're going to get into the Word, and you know me, I got a lot of scriptures for you, and this is the title of the message, is the path to flourishing, and I want... This was a prophetic word that I received from a ministry at the beginning of this year, and I have just taken a hold of this word and said, this is a word for me personally, and also I kind of slacked off. We're halfway through the year, and I kind of slacked off with this word, believing it, putting it in operation. Even Dusty, our elder back there, kind of jerked me one day, and no, he didn't jerk me, I shouldn't say that, but he had a word for me in the church, and he said, we need to take back control. And I knew what he was talking about, because it felt like in the spiritual realm, you know, we're fighting a spiritual battle. And so in the spiritual realm, yeah, pat him good, Betty. Betty's back here going, good job, Dusty. But in the spiritual realm, it felt like we were losing ground. And I was feeling that. And I was like, God, what's going on? I mean, I felt like we were under attack. And have you ever felt that way in your life, in your walk with God? That was what was going on, and it felt like corporately as a church, that's what was going on. And Dusty told me, so we need to take back control. And so it got me to getting back in the Word, I'm in the Word, but it got me back in there even more. And God brought back up, you need to start believing this prophetic word that was given to you at the beginning of this year. And this is the prophetic word, and I'm going to give it to you. It's not going to be up on the board, but it's just one sentence. The faithful shall flourish, and the key word is faithful there. And I'll have to be honest with you. I had slacked off, and that my faithfulness wasn't there, and that was that word that Dusty gave me, was we got to get back in taking control, being faithful. The faithful shall flourish, and it shall be like days of heaven on earth. God wants you to flourish now. Not when you go to heaven. He wants you to flourish right now. Yeah, we have an enemy, the devil, and we have to resist him by faith and all those things. But God wants us to flourish right now. And so here's what the word flourish means. And this is the path that we're all going to get on. The word flourish means to thrive, to increase, to enlarge, to grow, to be prosperous, to abound, to spread out, to expand, to make steady progress, and to be at a high point in one's life. I don't know about you, but I want some of that. I want that kind of a flourishing lifestyle, to walk in that daily. And I know that we're in a battle. And, you know, and that was where I was at when Dusty came to me with that word, was I was just kind of beat down and just like, okay, you know, God, if you're going to do it, do it. If you're not, you know, and I'm just, you know, come what might, that was kind of where I was at. And Dusty was like, we got to take back control. And so it made me rise up, pull up my bootstraps, and say, by gosh, I'm on this path. I'm not going to stray to the right or to the left, and I'm going to put my faith in operation and in action, and I'm going to receive everything that God has for me. And I want us to receive everything as a church, too, that he has for us. And everybody said, amen. So we're going to go through several scripture today. You know me, I'm the teacher. I like to pour it on you. And in Psalms 25, verse 4, this is King David, and he prays this a lot in the book of Psalms. Actually, when you look, if you ever go do a word search, like on BibleGateway.com, do a word search for the word path, you're going to, in the New King James Version, the two books of the Bible that it shows up the most in is, first of all, is the book of Proverbs, and then in the book of Psalms. And Psalms, David was constantly, God, show me your ways, show me your path, lead me on that path. And so in Psalms 25, 4, he is saying, he's praying this, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. That's what he's praying, and that's what I'm wanting to start off today in this introductory message that's going to take about 2 hours to get the introduction out. I'm just kidding. We'll get it out here in just shortly. But this is the introductory message to this series. In Psalms 25, 4 is what we're starting off with. Show me your ways. This is our prayer. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. And then in Psalm 16, 11, this is King David again. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. When you're on the path of life, on God's path, you're going to have joy.
Amen.
And joy is not just emotion. Joy is down in here. Because on that path, I've had all kinds of H-E-double-L on the path of life. Because we have a enemy that fights. You know, I had somebody tell me one time, well, I don't know if I want to get on God's path, because when you get on God's path, you got an enemy. I like, well, there's only two paths in life. There's the world's path, and you know where it ends up? That ends up in hell. And then there's God's path, which leads in eternal life. And yes, on God's path there is an enemy, but God has already won the victory.
Amen.
When people have that mentality, they don't know that Jesus already won that battle 2,000 years ago. Jesus already won that battle. And when people have that mentality, they don't know the victory that they're already walking in. And we can walk in that victory on God's path every day of our lives and overcome the enemy. Doesn't make you exempt from things happening, because in this world you're going to have tribulation and trials and troubles and all those things. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You can be an overcomer in this life, not just in the sweet by and by. That's good news, guys. That's very good news. But there's only two paths in life, the world's path and God's path. This morning I was talking to Jake. Jake, I'm glad you're here today. And he says, you know what? I'm no longer on the world's path. I'm on God's path. And I'm going to stay on God's path. Amen, Jake. I'm proud of you, buddy. Proverbs 14, verse 12. And this is where we get messed up. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Sometimes we think we know the way, and we think it seems right, but we need to get on God's path, not the world's path or our path. We need to get on God's path, because the way that we think and all those, God's ways are higher than our ways, but the way we think, it always ends in death or ends in destruction. You can't outsmart God.
Amen.
You're not smarter than God. You're not that smart, so you need to get on his path. So number one, there's only going to be 2 points in this message today, believe it or not. But under point number two, there's going to be 5 points. So I'm slipping in 7 points on you. Number one is get on the path of life. Get on the path of life. And when I say, and you got to get on it and you got to stay on it. A lot of people get on it and then they get off of it. Get on, get off, get on, get off. They're taking all these exits all the time. You've got to get on the path of life and you've got to stay faithful and stay on that path. In Psalm 65, verse 11, it says this about the Lord. You crown the year, 2017, or any year that you're in, whatever year you're in, my 47th year, with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. God wants you to have the abundant life. Look at somebody and say, God wants you to have the abundant life. All right. I'm going to tell you how I was raised in church. And to be honest with you, I was raised in church until I was about 12 to 13 years old. And then I got out of church and didn't want any part of it. Didn't feel like it, you know, it wasn't benefiting me at all. I'd rather do other things on Sunday. I didn't want to serve in a church. It was boring. I didn't have any understanding of what the need of church was, basically. I believed in God. I believed in Jesus, but I just didn't see the need for church. And I'm going to tell you, if somebody would have told me this, the path to flourishing, I'm going to tell you, I can remember how I thought back then. When I heard the word path to flourishing, or a path, or show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths, this is what I thought of. I thought of this. I'm serious. This is how limited my theology was. Is I thought this path right here that led to the altar was the path of God. And it's sad, but there's a lot of Christians that think that way too. And that was the path that I had to come to church, walk down that path to come and find abundant life, to come and find Jesus. And when I was in church, and I don't know if this is how you was raised in church, but when I was in church, I grew up, and I'm not bashing any church, any denomination, anything like that. That's not what I'm doing. It's because I believe that the gospel is ever revealing to us the good news and all that. But where I grew up at and where I attended church, all I heard was a condemnation gospel. And the condemnation gospel was basically, it came out like this. This is how I received it. You're no good. You're a sinner. You stink. You need Jesus. Get saved. And I heard that every Sunday. No, you're not righteous. No, you need Jesus. You're not righteous. No, not one. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody's a sinner. And I was like, my gosh, is there any more else to this path? I know I'm a sinner. You know, I wouldn't be here if I didn't, you know, I need Jesus, but my gosh, this is horrible. Because every week I just get pounded and beat up. And yeah, I'm a sinner saved by grace, but what does grace look like? You know, I want to get over there. I want to quit, you know, being beat up every Sunday. And finally, I started hearing another gospel, which was called the Good News Gospel. And I was like, man, I like that path. I want to get on that path. And it wasn't just a Sunday path of coming down here and repent. By the way, when I was in that particular church, it was the same people every Sunday got saved all the time. You know, they got saved every Sunday. And some of them I saw get baptized at least 5 times. You know, and I'm like, golly, God, there's got to be more to it. I want this to be real, and then I want to get baptized, and then I want to live an abundant life. And then I found out that that's what Jesus taught when he was here. That's not that path that we all think about, you know, coming to the altar and getting saved. That's part of it. That's the beginning of it. That's getting on the path. That's making Jesus your Savior. But then you need to make Jesus your Lord. There's a difference. Jesus is my Savior, but he also needs to be your Lord. And in John chapter 10, verse 10, this is getting on the path still. Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." And that's today. That's right now. That's not when you get to heaven. Thank God for heaven, and we won't have any resistance to our faith because we won't have an enemy in heaven. But Jesus said, you can have the abundant life right now. And so I was like, okay, then the Lord began to show me, Mark, the problem is everybody's getting saved every Sunday. Save, 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 save. And they just know Jesus as their Savior, but that you need to learn Jesus as your Lord and walk with him every day. So how you make Jesus the Lord of your life is number two. And there's going to be 5 points under number two. So that's how we get 7 today. Number two is make God's word first place and final authority in your life. And that's how you start making Jesus the Lord of your life. Does this happen all at once? No. You get saved all at once. But then as you start walking with God and making him Lord of this area, as he convicts you and shows you different things and you make him Lord of this area, then you're walking with him and Jesus becomes the Lord of your life. I'm still learning things today that Jesus wants to become Lord of. That day that Dusty came to me and said, we need to take back control. That was a day that I needed that word. That was for me personally, but it was also for our church as well. But I needed that word because God was saying, Mark, you're not seeing me as Lord in this area. I know things aren't going like you want to right now, but I'm still Lord and I'm still in control. So let's take back control of that thought that I was having. But Psalms 119 verses 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So you're never going to hear this pastor ever quit encouraging you to get into the Word of God. You have to get in the Word of God because the Word is your map and your guide. Amen. Look at somebody, say, the Word is your map and your guide. Okay, now here's the first point under make God's Word first place and final authority in your life. Number one, be a doer of the Word. Not a trier, a doer. Oh, I'll try that for a month. No, you got to do it. I just did, you know, most of you know that Taya and Cameron just got married. So she's Taya Page now. She's no longer Taya Haney. I'm still having a hard time with that, Cameron. I'm sorry. And I'm at home, and Jade and I are experiencing, and Kent had to remind me this morning. He said, how's it going at home? And I'm like, you know, there's days I'm like, where's Taya? Where's Taya, you know? And I was like, oh, she's got her own home now. She's living in an RV right now. That's their home right now. And they love it, by the way, over in Weatherford. And it's so funny, the other day I text Taya and I said, look what your mom and I talk about now. And Jada had sent me this big old long text about our toy poodle, Lily, and how she had chased us. I was gone, I had to go do some things. And Jada texted me this big old long text of how Lily had chased a squirrel and chased a rabbit. And I sent that, I copied that text and sent it to Tay, and I said, see what we talk about now? All we got to talk about is our toy poodle, Lily. And but she's married. Well, okay, where was I going with that? Okay, now I know. Is whenever we had their wedding ceremony, whenever we got to that point, and Pastor Scott, Cameron's dad, and I kind of tag-teamed the ceremony. But when we got to the point in their ceremony where I said, that where they say the I do's, they didn't say I'll try. They said I do. And so when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, and I'm going to get, you're actually saying I am married to Jesus, and whatever he says, I'm going to do. I'm not going to try it, I'm going to do it. That's what making Jesus the Lord of your life is. I'll tell you, as I've studied the Word of God, and as God keeps revealing the Word to me, as I walk with him, and I'm talking about the path to flourishing, and when I'm talking about that, I want you to realize God wants you to flourish in the whole man. And what I mean by that, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, relationally, every area of your life, he wants you to flourish. And so as I've been studying the Word of God, I've came across some scriptures that I don't care for. Anybody in here? Okay. One of them is love your enemies. How many of you like that scripture? I'm like, God, can we go back to the Old Testament and do an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? You know, I want to hate my enemies. I don't want to love them. And then he goes on in that passage of scripture and talks about you need to pray for them. I'm like, I don't want to pray for them. I have no desire to pray for them. And I've said this all along. When the Lord first started showing me this and love your enemies and pray for them, I had to pray through gritted teeth. When God said you need to pray blessings over them, I'm like, bless them. You know, that was how I was. I've gotten better since then. But that's being a doer of the word. You've got to start somewhere, is what I'm saying. I first had to start praying through gritted teeth. God bless him, but I want to hit him, you know. And so that was one of the scriptures that I had a hard time with, being a doer of the word. There's some of that. So you've got to do all the word. You can't just try it. You've got to do it. And you've got to start somewhere. You've got to start by faith. Okay, here's number two, or the B in this outline. Is don't, and this ought to be self-explanatory, but I feel like we need to say it again. Don't walk with the ungodly, stand with sinners, or sit with the scornful. Now you might be saying, well, then Pastor Mark, how can we be a witness? What, and then these scriptures that I'm going to show you, these are, what this is talking about is people that have no care about God, and they make it known. They don't want to hear about God, they don't want to hear about Jesus, and they don't want to hear about the Word of God. Those are the kind of people you don't want to hang with. Now, people that are sinners and they don't know any better, but you get around them and they're like, man, I want what you got. That's not what I'm talking about. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about people that have basically said this to Jesus, and they let it be known. God says, don't walk with those kind of people. Don't even get around them, because that junk will get on you. That 1 Corinthians 15:33, we won't turn there, but it says bad company corrupts good character. It'll happen every time. I've been having a few, they don't go to church here, so it's nobody in here today, but I've had a couple of people that I'm doing marriage counseling with, and I've had to tell them, don't hang around people that just have got divorced and they're living it up thinking the single life is all that and a bag of chips and supersize it. I said, don't hang around people like that, because that'll get on you. You need to get around people right now. If your marriage is struggling, then you need to get around people that have good marriages. Amen. And let that rub off on you. Don't get around people that are single and thinking that's the way to go. It's not the way to go, by the way. All you married folks say amen. I know sometimes the enemy will come and lie to you. All right. So don't walk with the ungodly, stand with sinners, or sit with the scornful. And this is Proverbs 1, verse 10 and verse 15. It says this, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. Don't walk with them. Don't walk with them. There was a time in my life, and I'm just going to be flat out honest with you, that I loved going to the bar, and I loved having a drink every now and then. And drinking to excess, which is a sin when you drink to excess. I'm not saying that having a drink every now and then is a sin, because it's not. The Bible teaches that. A little wine, the Bible says, is good for the stomach. Everybody said amen. But what I did was not right. And but there was a time when I first got saved, guys, when I first got saved, there was no way that I could go back into that lifestyle and be a witness, because it would have rubbed off on me. Everybody see what I'm saying? You can't go in those places, or if it was drugs that you dealt with, you can't go back into that drug life and think, I'm going to be a witness because I'm going to go back in there and I'm going to have a few hits with them and witness to them. No, you're not. You're going to get sucked right back into it. Don't do that. Don't believe that lie. Maybe one of these days God will give you the strength to do that, but right now, no. And in fact, I would just keep this in your mind. I'm not going to do that unless Jesus appears to me and tells me to go do that. That's the way you need to have that mindset. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." That's just where this point comes from. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." If you stay on this path with God, whatever you do is going to prosper. Okay, I'm going to tell you somebody you need to walk with. So we found out who not to walk with. We need to find out who to walk with. You need to walk with the wise, and the wise are these kind of people. Hebrews 6, verse 12 says, "Imitate or follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Follow those kind of people. Follow people of faith. Follow people of patience that are waiting on those promises of God. Those are the kind of people you need to follow. The next thing is Proverbs 13, verse 20. "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." So we need to walk with the wise. Look at somebody and say, we need to walk with the wise. Look at somebody and say, you need to be a wise guy. All right. Since we're talking about marriage, well, you know, I'm seeing Tay and Cameron over here, newlyweds. And this goes for all married couples in here, you need to walk with people who have good marriages and take marriage advice from people that have good marriages. All right. D, number four, don't follow your own understanding. When you're on this path, walking with God, this is going to go into point number five here in just a second, you cannot follow your own understanding. Yes, God gave you a brain. Yes, God wants you to use it. Yes, God wants you to be wise. Yes, God wants you to get in the Word of God. But there are going to be times in your walk with God that He is going to challenge you to make a step of faith. And you've got to do it to follow God. And sometimes it's not going to make a whole lot of sense. You're not going to understand it. All those kind of things. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord." Most of you know this scripture. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart." There it is. "And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." As long as your heart is given towards God, you can't mess up. You're going to be on this path, and God's going to keep you going. You just can't mess up. You just got to trust God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I've said this before, back when Taya was, I'm sorry I'm picking on you guys this morning, but Taya was back when she was in college, when she graduated from here, she was saying, she was like, "Daddy, I don't know where to go to college at. I don't know what's going to happen." And she was just, because Taya's one of those kind, and I know a lot of you are like this, I'm like this, that you want to have it planned out a few years in advance. But a lot of times God just wants, yeah, Dusty's pointing at Betty. A lot of times you only have light enough to see the next day. That's why it's called steps of faith. And I was just encouraging you, Taya, you love Jesus. You love God. You're trusting in God. Don't try to figure this all out. God's got your heart. He's going to direct your paths. And I kept encouraging her with that. And lo and behold, I said, there's going to be a coach that's going to come along. I don't know who it is, but there's going to be a coach that comes along that really wants you. And that's where you want to go. You want to go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. Amen. That'll keep you on a good path if you listen to that. That's good little wisdom. You want to go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. And so, lo and behold, a great coach came along, Coach Ed Hargrove from Ark City, Kansas, and he was a great coach, and he wanted Taya tremendously, gave her a scholarship, and boom, the rest is history. And then just here the other day, Taya's applying for a job out in Arizona where they're going to be moving in October, and she used him as a reference. Isn't that awesome? That connection that God placed in her life. And so you can't, you've got to follow the Lord by faith. I wish we could see 5 years down the road. I don't know where this church is going to be in 5 years. I wish I did. You know, I have vision. I have feel like knowing where we're going, but it's every day taking steps of faith and being faithful when you can't see, you know, what's the next step, God? Next step. Sometimes I'll ask God, what's the next step? Stay faithful. God, what's the next step? Stay faithful. I mean, stay on the path. God, I don't see what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month. Stay faithful, Mark. Stay faithful. Look at somebody and say, stay faithful. Faithfulness is a huge thing. Is a huge thing. So we've talked about getting on the path of life. We've talked about making God's word first place and final authority in your life. That's making Jesus the Lord of your life. And how you do that is being a doer of the word. Don't walk with the ungodly, stand with sinners, or sit with the scornful. The next thing is walk with the wise. Don't follow your own understanding. And it leads to this, and this is going to be my last point for today. Number five, and this is E, is honor the Lord with your giving. And I want to say this, you are never more like God than when you're giving. And that's giving of your time, your talents, serving in the Lord with your talents, and also with your treasure. You need to be what I call a T-rated Christian. Time, talents, and treasure. Time, talents, and treasure. You might be saying, well, I don't know what my talents is. Well, then start serving God with your time, and you'll find out what your talents are. Time, talents, and treasure. I didn't know that God called me to be a pastor until I started here. This is where it started for me. I'm going to show you how it started. Is I was in a church, and I heard a pastor up there saying, we need help in a little ministry in their church called Royal Rangers. It's like Boy Scouts. We need help. We need a man of God to lead this ministry. And it's, you know, ministering to boys and kind of like a Boy Scout atmosphere. I heard that and I thought, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start serving God with my time and whatever talent I've got to lead a group of boys. We started doing that. We went on campouts. We had fun. I seen God do so many powerful things in those kind of deals. I've seen young boys attentive and worshiping God for hours. At a time. I saw the power of God moving in that situation. So it just powerful things were happening. And I was like, God, you are so good. And through that is where I was actually, bottom line, I was pastoring those little boys. And I, even to this day, I've seen a few of them to this day, and they still remember Royal Rangers. I'll never forget, there's one little boy, and I'll never forget him as long as I live. His name's Matt Dixon. And he came in, and one of our deals was, and Kent will appreciate this, is they had to come up with an Indian name for this Royal Rangers is what the name of it was. Little Matt Dixon came up to me, I think he was like 5 or 6 years old, and we're sitting down, and we had like Boy Scout uniforms on and everything. And I asked little Matt, I said, Matt, what's your Indian name? And he looks at me and he's all just, I'll never forget. He looks at me and he goes, my Indian name is Hoppin' Frog. I was like, that's a good one. I like that, Hoppin' Frog. And I've seen his mother a few times, and every time I see her, and I've seen Matt once with her, every time I see them or think about them, I think it Hoppin' Frog. But that's where it all started at. And so what I'm saying is start honoring God with your time, your talents, and your treasure. And you're never more like God than when you are giving. And I'm telling you guys, and where it hurts the most is with the old pocketbook. I understand that. And there's something about that, that your heartstrings are directly connected to your pocketbook. You understand what I'm talking about? And God will challenge you. He'll say, and I never heard this taught until I was in church, and I heard taught about tithes and offerings. And I had to wrap my mind around that, and it took a little while for me to get that. And thank God I finally got it, where now I put my tithe and offering check, our tithe and offering check, in the basket today, and I don't whine over it now, because I know that it's a command of God and that I need to obey it to stay on this path of blessing, to stay on this path to flourish. And so the scriptures are Proverbs 3, verses 9 through 10. It talks about honor the Lord. That means respect the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, God don't want to just bless you so you have everything you want. God wants to bless you so you will be a blessing. I want to be a distribution center for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to live to give. I want to live to be like the Lord. In fact, I'm going to tell you some of my goals. These are some of my goals, and I'm going to get there. It's going to take me a little while, but I'm going to get there. One of these days, and I'm believing God very soon, I'm not going to take a salary from this church. I want to be able to give that all back to the church for the ministry here. I want to be able to fund my own ministry. So I want to hear this from a heart up here. I'm not telling you to give so I can have a bigger salary. I'm telling you to give so we can do the things that God's called us to do, and we can be a blessing to people and blessing to others and see people come into the kingdom. Because I'm going to get to a point where I don't need a salary from here, and I cannot wait till that happens. I can't wait to tell Dusty, don't pay me no more. And I'm working on that. And I have read books, and God, I'm just going to throw this out there. If you want to be a millionaire, and I want to be a millionaire to be able to fund my own ministry and help fund other ministries, you need to have 7 lines of income coming in. Right now I have 2. I got a ways to go. But I'm going to get there, because I have a desire to be able to do that. I want to do that. I want to be able to fund my own ministry and fund other people's ministry. Yesterday, this hit me. Guys, I was on a Skype. I'm part of a board, a ministry board for Amy Downey, who has Sadaka Ministries, which is a ministry to it's Jewish evangelism. And I'm on Skype, and I'm listening to all the needs and all the vision that she has for her ministry and what she's needing to do and wanting to do. And you know what it takes, guys? It takes money. And does she have it? No. And I'm sitting there as a pastor going, I don't got it either. I've got some vision too, and I'm wanting to do this for God and this for God, and I don't have it. And I was sitting there, and I just got ticked off, and here's Dusty word came to me, take control. And I was like, well, take God, instead of me sitting around and believing for one of y'all to get blessed so you'll bring it into the kingdom of God and help us get things done, I'm just like, God, flow it through me. I want to do it. I want to be that blessing to fund my own ministry and not take a salary from the church and be able to. And I was sitting there on that phone or on that Skype on my computer, and I was hearing about what Amy was needing and what she was wanting to do, and it's all valid and it's all good and it's all from God and it's great vision. And I'm like, I wanted to be able to write her a check and say, here, go do it in Jesus' name. And we need more people like that. And I appreciate Cameron, my son in love, I'm just going to call him my son. His desire, him and Taya's desire, is to be able to fund the kingdom. God put them two together for a reason. And I know Cameron's a tither, and Taya, we've been teaching her to tithe, and she's been tithing off all of her softball lessons. And everything. Did you put your tithe in there this morning? Okay, she I got it. I got it. But that's their desire, is to be able to fund the kingdom. So they got 2 ministries to take care of, mine and his dad's. No, I'm just kidding. But that's their desire as a married couple. And I'm like, God, I wish Jade and I would have got that at their age, you know, before they even got married. Now they're working together, and they're going to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. That's what they want to do. Cameron's going to go off and be a Edward D. Jones investor. And that's one of his desires, is to be able to be a blessing to the kingdom of God with finances. And God, we need more of those people that will believe that way. Guys, I'm going to tell you something right now, and I understand I was there. Man, I was there. In a big way, I was there. I didn't know how God could bless me outside of my income that I was receiving from a bank at that time. And I'm going to tell you something. God's got other ways to get income to you. He is the God of increase. But you got to be a giver first. He doesn't get God does not give it to stingy people. God don't give to stingy people or people that withhold. God wants to give it to people that are givers. Look at somebody and say, you need to be a giver. I'm going to tell you one more story. This is my first closing. Is there was a couple in our church, this has been years ago, and they heard me teach on this. And if this doesn't make you a believer, and I've got stories of my own, if this doesn't make you a believer in what I'm telling you, nothing will. But they were sitting and they heard me teach on tithes and offerings and being a giver, letting God have that part of, you know, that we all want to hold on to, because we all got bills and we all got, and God understands that. But we got to be givers. We can't be stingy. And so they decided that day, they said, we're going to start tithing. And really tithing, I'll be honest with you, if you really want to get technical, tithing is just returning to what God's already blessed you with. You're not giving until you give over and above the tithe. That's a whole nother message. But they started tithing that day, and they didn't know how God was going to work. And guys, that very week, they told me this story, that very week, they received a check in the mail from, they had a deal where they had bought a new vehicle almost like a year ago, and they got a check in the mail for almost double than what they gave, you know, for their tithe. And here's the deal. The dealership, this is amazing. This dealership, this, you know, a year ago found out that they'd done their books wrong and that they owed them money, and they sent them a check. Now, if that don't make you a believer, I don't know what will. And so I know lots of stories like that, and we don't give to get. I'm not trying to make God out to be a slot machine, because he's not. But God, to stay on that path, the path of flourishing, you have to be a giver. I wish I could tell you, no, you can keep all your money and stay on that path. No, you've got to be a giver, because God only blesses distribution centers. You're blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed. We give outside of this. Money comes into our ministry, into this church. We give to other ministries. Amy's one of them that we give to. Marriage Today is one of them. So we're giving out as well. And guys, it works. That's God's system. That's God's economy. One more scripture, because when you start giving, this is what's going to happen. God says, this is wisdom speaking, which is Jesus. He says in verse 20 in Proverbs 8, he says, I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me, when you're on this path and you're being a giver, to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. And he does it so you will be a blessing to others. That's just how God works. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Is everybody ready to get on that path? Amen. All right. Get on that path and stay on that path. And we're going to be talking more about this over the Sundays to come. And I encourage you to get your family and friends here every Sunday, because we're going to learn how to get on this path of flourishing and stay on this path of flourishing. And there's going to be other principles that we're going to learn. And I just wanted to share these as kind of an introduction to you this morning, because this is how you get on it and stay on it. Don't get on it, on it for a little while and then fall off. Get on this path and stay on this path. And guys, it takes time. I can't tell you that as soon as you get on this path, blessings are just going to start. You got to stay faithful. Look at somebody and say, you got to stay faithful. You got to stay faithful and get on this path. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And before you leave today, we're doing this for everybody here, but also those that are watching by Church's Aid, because we put this on the computer on Sunday mornings, and then this also goes out over the radio as well. And I want to make sure that everyone here knows Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord before they leave here today. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. So you have to give voice to this. And so I want to lead you in what I call the prayer of salvation. And this is a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And even if you are saved and you know Jesus, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins. and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. Now, if that's the first time you prayed that prayer, the very next step that you need to do is to follow the Lord in water baptism. And we can do that next Sunday. All you got to do is tell me, and we'll get the holy hot tub filled up for you. We had one here just a few Sundays ago. But I want everyone to stand up, and I want to pray a prayer over you and a blessing this morning. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you that we have learned how to get on the path of flourishing, the lifestyle of flourishing. And God, it is a lifestyle. It's something that we have to get on and stay faithful to. And Lord, I thank you that everybody's leaving here today on the path of life by knowing Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And Father, they're making your word first place and final authority in their lives. They're going to be a doer of the word. Everything that they come across that they're not doing, they're going to start doing it. They're not going to try it. They're going to be a doer of the word. And Father, we're not going to walk with those that scoff at the word of God. We're not going to walk with the ungodly, stand with sinners, or sit with the scornful. God, we're going to walk with you in the name of Jesus, and we're going to create a vacuum behind us that's going to draw in other people as well. And Father, we're going to walk with the wise. We want to walk with those of like faith. And Father, we're not going to follow our own understanding. There's going to be times where we have to make steps of faith and follow you, where we don't see where the next step is going to be. And so, Father, I pray that you give us courage. I believe that there's some here today that you're speaking to them about making a step of faith. And, Father, that they're going to follow through with that and not lean into their own understanding. And, Father, we're also going to honor you with our giving. And, Father, I pray that there's some here today that are going to start that today. They've never heard that taught before. And, Father, they're going to start today. And, Father, they're going to get on that path of honoring you with their giving, and they're going to see, Father, you open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that they won't have room enough to receive it. And God, we thank you for that. And Father, I also want to speak a blessing over everyone here today. Jada, would you come with me, babe? And as every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to put out your hands and receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now look at somebody, go shake their hand, hug their neck, and say, I am on the path. I am on the path. Amen.